Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. It is, what is it? December 1st.
It is December. Here we are.
It is December 1st, 2020. Welcome, sir, DJ Hill, the owner, co-owner, you have to describe the title, of Lefties.
Of Lefties, Alley and Eats in Alley and Lewis, Delaware. Alley and Eats. Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well, and thank you. We've had to change this a couple times this morning. I was late, so I'm apologizing publicly to you.
A public apology.
Well, I didn't want you. I don't want you to think I'm just out of my mind.
It's not necessary.
I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and it's just November and December. But besides, the hair business is just crazy for me. So, but I want to say thank you for taking some time and spending
it
with
me.
I've been looking forward to and trying to have you on the podcast because my wife and I and a lot of friends and a lot of people I know are big fans of Lefties, Alley, and Eats. Can we just call it Lefties for a second?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, we know it's Lefties, Alley, and Eats, but I'm just going to say Lefties. So
you got
it. But we're big fans. Love the spot. I have one complaint, and I'll bring it up later, and maybe we can...
Off-air or on-air?
No, we'll do it on-air.
Okay,
we're going to document this complaint.
All right.
And it's only about the kids' toys.
Okay.
I think we can...
Oh, I don't know if I have much knowledge in that's you know sphere, but I'll do my best.
It's a very small complaint, but okay. And I'm sort of kidding.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been going to Lefties for pretty much the whole duration since you've been open. We've watched you go through some changes,
yeah,
some ups and downs. We really like the changes that you've gone through lately, especially with like the burger and the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There was some great conversation I was having with some of my clients about some water reconnaissance for this pizza, which I thought was very interesting. I thought it would be fun to chat about that.
Okay.
Because, you know, pizza, the key to pizza is, right, New York City water.
Correct.
Supposedly.
Well, it is a key ingredient for sure.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be fun to talk about that and just the journey that you guys have been on.
Mm. Yeah, it's been a long one for sure. You know, we've been open now for 6 years. Coming up on 6 years on the 14th of December, so time has really flown by quickly.
Yeah, and you opened, and then, you know, COVID came and just threw a twist. But, you know, one of the, like a lot of the great businesses around here, you guys, you know, did some different things. I know you did the drive-through, drive-in movie on, and showed the movie on the side of the building, which I thought was creative. Let's start at the beginning. I mean, how'd you get involved? What happened?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think, you know, in looking back, I mean, this journey started about 10 years ago. And, you know, it was really kind of born out of personal frustration with myself and my business partner, Chad Moore, of, you know, we had 7 kids between us. And there just really wasn't a lot to do in the area, especially in the wintertime, right?
Right.
So, you know, 10 years ago, things were still fairly quiet here, although things were changing pretty quickly. And, you know, we were just trying to figure out what we were going to do with all these kids.
Sure.
And I think one time...
First of all, who brought all these kids?
Yeah, right?
I have 3.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. And Chad has 4. So, you know, we were just, you know, like, I think a lot of good ideas come out of just a personal experience as a consumer, right? And you figure out where the niche is and what the needs are and where the voids are, and you kind of go from there. And it was, honestly, it was the kind of thing where I was on vacation with my family, and we went into a center that was fairly similar. You know what I mean? It wasn't exactly the same, but, you know, I kind of looked around and I said, you know, I think this is something that would fly in Rehoboth. You know, it might be a little ahead of the curve in terms of where the market is, but I think this is the direction that we're going. And so, you know, from that one experience was kind of born the idea. And then we, traveled around the country. Honestly, we saw about 15 different centers that were the newest and latest. And what we did is we cherry picked what we really liked from each one of those, and we kind of put it all under one roof in the design phase of that.
Well, the place is beautiful.
Thanks.
I mean, you know, it's always, you always come to the, across those places that you like, but you're like, yeah, you could have done a little better with this. I mean, you guys did a
great
job.
And I do that myself still, right? You know, I look back and not look at all the great things that are going on under that, you know, that roof, but I look at what we could have done differently and what we would do differently if we did it again.
We won't bring that up.
All right.
Unless you want to.
Until we get to the plush toys, right?
Well, the plush toys.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say that I just feel like we could do a little bit better with the little toys.
Okay.
You know, it's, you know, before Lefties, you know, we used to take the kids down to the arcades down in Rehoboth. And, you know, a good summer, you could finish the summer off with a good number of points that might be able to...
Get a toaster or something like that.
A toaster or, you know, a big flamingo pillow or something, you know.
Something you really needed like
an
that.
An $800 flamingo pillow. But, you know, I just, you know, maybe a little upgrade in the toys department. You know, because if you have kids, which you do, and you go to that, and, you know, I don't mind dropping some money. I think it's fun. I enjoy supporting local business. I just think that, you know, maybe a better little bracelet, you know, a better something. Maybe
you don't,
that
you don't
I can
like
have.
The Chinese finger toy thing. You're over that.
They're nice.
Okay,
I have a few, and I'm having a little bit of fun. You know, I think any parent that goes to any, whether it's the arcade or Lefties or anything, probably goes, "Geez, that was an expensive rubber ball."
Yeah, you know, I gotcha.
So that would be my only complaint. But listen.
You know, it's funny you mention it because I was just down in Orlando. There's a big trade show that happens every year. It's called the IAPA Convention. And probably 25% of the Orlando Convention Center is filled with all of the different type of redemption toys and plush things that are coming out for next year. And usually they tie into movies that are coming out, which, you know, has been a struggle, obviously, in the last 2 years with new movie product. But, you know, any toy that's imaginable is there.
Right.
So you get a sense of what's kind of coming around the corner and what the trends are.
You sharpen up your pencil and you're like, okay, we're going to, this 2022 is going to be the year of the plush toy at Lefties.
Well, I can't reveal that.
Okay. All right. Well,
we'll get there.
Maybe when this podcast gets bigger, you'll come and do that next time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's, all being said, that was all for fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good stuff. We were just there recently, totally digging the axe throwing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was great. And from my experience as a person going to do it before getting there, wondering how that was going to work, you know, because we are chucking axes, right?
Right.
And so we signed up, we got there, and then we were assigned a guy.
Right.
I forget his name.
Your axpert.
My axpert.
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't. I don't know if he said he was the expert for us, but I love that. That's great. But he was assigned to us and really helped us enjoy the experience, because I don't know, obviously for legal reasons you have to have an expert on the scene, but he really helped it kind of move along. I'm not sure what I was expecting, quite honestly. I'm very grateful for the expert, but he really helped us move along through a couple games, gave us some instructions on how to throw the axe,
right,
and just made for kind of, you know, I wasn't nervous, but you know, I've seen some YouTube videos. It can get, you know, no expert, and it can get a little crazy, right?
Sure.
So
and alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Tied in with that, too. Great,
good thing we don't drink.
Yeah.
So, but it was great to have the expert. He was very helpful, moved us through a couple games, and really made the experience quite fun.
Yeah. I mean, their job, first and foremost, is your safety and protection, right? And so they need to really kind of go over those rules. Secondly, their job is to show you the technique and how you can walk out of there after an hour, being able to stick an axe on a wooden board. And that's really their second focus. The third thing is that they need to be a party starter. You know, they really want to engage the crowd a little bit. And when I say crowd, we're talking at, you know, maximum 8 to 10 people or your group. He really wants to engage your group to make sure that you're having a fun experience and make it a semi-competitive environment so that everybody's playing against each other. So it's a really important role. To your point, just kind of walking in and throwing axes against the wall can be fun, but it's so much more fun when you have somebody who really cares about your experience when you're in there.
Well, so is that the maximum amount of people to a party is 10?
The maximum we'll put in that room is 15, 12 to 15.
So what I loved about it is that it is kind of like a party room. And
it is.
I wasn't sure what to expect. So when we got up there, it's a room. It's got a couch. It's got TV. It's kind of got a banquette there for putting pizzas or whatever it is you might, appetizers. I think we got wings and some other things, and then we ended up getting pizzas. Which were all delicious, thank you. And but you have the room, and then you kind of have not necessarily a divider, but two parts of the wall that come in that create kind of the separation, but still able to walk through into the throwing area. And so it's not like it's all axe throwing. You could actually have kind of a group of people that can socialize and hang out and enjoy, beverages, while another group or the two, right? Because it's the two and the axe bird really that are only allowed in the axe throwing area.
Right.
To do the game. So you can kind of have two different things. It doesn't have to be all axe throwing all the time.
Right. And I think if you just want to spectate, there's an opportunity for you just to spectate if you want. And you don't want to participate as part of that group. And it's a great space. And the funny thing is prior to COVID, that was a storage space.
Right.
So this, again, was one of the attractions that was born out of COVID. And it was kind of like, oh, God, what are we going to do to survive? And what, in terms of consumer trends and attractions is really hot right now. And axe throwing was one of them. So we converted this storage space to axe throwing a year ago.
Well, and I remember axe throwing just all of a sudden kind of became popular.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, and so it all kind of, it reminds me of when my dad built his house and he had it all planned out and it was being built and I had this, there was a ladder in there and I climbed up and stuck my head up to the rafters. I'm like, you could turn this into a movie theater room. He's like, oh, great. And he did.
Did he do it?
He did. Nothing elaborate. It was really just a big room for a TV. But, you think you have one thing and then you realize, hey, this could be an opportunity to chuck some axes.
Definitely.
Well, and I think our expert said to us that there are maybe plans to expand.
Yeah, so we're looking into that right
now.
And
nothing official.
No, nothing official. So I think in the spring we're thinking about repurposing our laser tag arena. So laser tag has a pretty specific shelf life. And once you've played out that experience time and time again, it gets a little old. Even if, you're 12 years old, the experience, if you're doing it every time, it gets a little stale. So
little kids start camping, don't they?
Yeah.
Freakers.
Yeah.
You need a laser bird.
An expert in laser tag.
Yeah. Clever like you, DJ.
So
failed.
I think that we had always built that space back there where laser tag is as a space that would change. It would evolve over time as attractions changed, trends changed, and it's an easy, very utilitarian space that's easy to convert. So I think what we're looking to do is we're looking to transition that space into more of an adult-focused attraction space. This spring, we're kind of finalizing what the pieces of that puzzle might look like. But what we're finding through attractions like axe throwing, which really cater to more of an adult focus, is that it really drives our food and beverage sales. So you take a space, which, that's 4,500 square feet in this building. It's a pretty significant
The piece. Laser tag area.
Yeah. Wow. If we can convert that to space that drives more food and beverage revenue, I think that's the direction that we need to go.
Well, right now it's almost kind of like 4,500 square feet really ties to one of the little pizza rooms. When we had a birthday party.
The party room.
We had the little birthday party room, but that little party room we did laser tag.
Sure.
Tying up that whole 4,500 square feet with that little party room.
Exactly.
So you could really, I get it.
Exactly. So, you know, and I think that what we want to be very sensitive to is the fact that, you know, for those kids' parties, which is, you know, a core of our business, right? It's a staple. We want to make sure that we still have options for those party elements. And if we don't have laser tag, what are we going to integrate into our attraction mix that's going to serve those birthday parties? Because those are really, really important to us.
Did you see any adult plushie toys? Did they give those?
I think that's a different trade show.
Oh boy. Because I'm thinking I clearly won our axe battle the other day, and there was no plushy toy for my my victory. But
okay,
it was all good.
Note taken. So yeah, I think that we're in kind of more of a creative change dynamic right now, where we're really trying to figure that out, and we want to get it right. So I don't want to put a timeline on it, but we're hoping to start construction on that in April, if we can get all those pieces of the puzzle ironed out.
Well, I enjoyed the axe throwing.
Good.
And I wasn't sure that I was going to, and I'm not sure I would have if I wouldn't have had the expert there and how you kind of had it laid out, because I can tell you, and I'm probably not the only person, I wasn't sure what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you guys did a really nice job with handling our group and keeping our party moving. And we ended up having a lot of great food. We ended up socializing in the socializing area and then still able to get a couple games off.
Right.
And I think, and I thought it was fun, you know, for people that don't know, you get two axes. You get a kind of like a hatchet, and then you get more of a longer handled axe. So,
which one did you prefer?
I was able to throw the bigger axe.
Okay.
I really actually got pretty good. In fact, I got to a point, if no one's ever done it, it's kind of like darts, so to speak. You have a kind of a bullseye, you know, with circular rings with different points. But then you have these two, what's it called, death shot?
Yeah, the money shot, or you know, whatever they call
death
it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think our expert...
It's 8 points, yeah.
Yeah, our expert called it the kill shot.
The kill shot, right, yeah.
But we can call it the money shot.
So are you a gambler and you're always going for that kill shot, or are you going for the 4 or 5?
No, I'm not a gambler.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
But what, I guess my point was the expert was... He was helpful enough that allowed me to still to eventually feel like I could try that money shot, and I hit it.
You did?
Yeah. Oh,
wow,
yeah.
That's good.
And I'm like, how come these boards aren't? Because of course I'm that guy. How many times you got to replace the boards? Mm. You know, he's like, well, the inner boards come out a little more often. The outside boards stay in a little longer. But I'm like, no, I'm gonna do some damage to those outside boards. But just had a lot of fun. The guy was super helpful with how to hold it, how to throw it, one step. I mean, it was just, he took four people that had never thrown an axe and made us good enough that we could enjoy a game.
Yeah, and that person is critical to that experience of what you had. And if you, you know, you didn't have a person in there who really cared about how you felt when you left that room, it would have been a completely different experience. And that's really kind of like our overarching mission there. It's really about, you know, providing the experience to people and memories, and where is the value in that interactive connection with other people that you know, or maybe you even don't know that are there.
Well, you know, and am I correct when I say that we were able to play our own music in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We played our own music in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's freaking cool.
Yeah. We've got Bluetooth speakers in there, and you can just hook it right up. He'll step you through that process if you want to do that too.
And then, I think we had a waitress that was coming up and taking our order because I'm like, should I go down and order pizza?
No.
And then they go, no, just relax, bro.
Yeah. You know, we don't want to take time away from what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're there to throw axes, and you should throw axes for the full hour.
It was brilliant. Yeah. I had an excellent time. We would totally do it again.
Good.
Had a lot of fun, and it wasn't just constantly throwing axes, you know. It was social area. The kids were able to come up. We were able to have fun. And
so you would really do it again, is what you're saying?
I would absolutely do it again.
Good.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Good.
No, we have a lot of fun there. And you know, the bowling, I've done the bowling. You know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to... one thing about bowling is you kind of got to keep your game going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not really. Do you still do the time?
Is it
the time?
We're doing it on an hour, basis by reservation.
Yeah, you want to keep your game going because you're, you know, when that hour's up,
Hours up.
Game's over.
And you know, we've been back and forth on that for a while, and you know, playing by the game or playing by the hour. And what we've realized is that people want to reserve a time, sure. You know, so that you're not, because we were in this phase where people would come in on the weekends and it would be an hour and a half, 2.5 hour wait. And the only way that we can control that amount of time on that wait is if we do it in blocks. And then that way you're able to reserve a time.
Well, and that was the great thing about the axe throwing is that our expert really helped us stay on task. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, next, let's go. I mean, not like that. You know, he's like, hey, all right, who's up? You know,
right.
And kept the game going. And unless you had a pool or a bowling spurt, right, to keep the game moving, mm-hmm. you may have somebody over there taking all day for one game. So yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a you got a lot of facets over there to manage.
You know, the challenging and the flip side to that is that, you know, when you're there for a defined amount of time, if it's an hour and you're ordering drinks and you're ordering food, you know, that creates a you know, a whole nother operational component for the kitchen to know, you know, that food needs to be more of a priority in some cases because we need to get it out there quickly because those people have a defined amount of time that they're going to be there.
If someone was going to come bowl, would you suggest they got there a little early? And if they had planned to eat during bowling, maybe get all that ordered prior to starting?
I always recommend that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like doing that because I don't like to be rushed. And the other part for me personally, and a lot of people this doesn't bother, I don't personally like to eat while I bowl. It's just kind of a hygiene type of thing.
No, it makes total sense.
Yeah, and even though we have you know, wet naps and we've got all of the hand sanitizer everywhere, it just, for me personally, eating a plate of wings and then sticking my hand in the ball back and forth, I like to eat beforehand.
Right. But I'm saying that, you know, if you get a group of 10, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't, you know, 8 of them want to get some wings or something, it's probably best to probably get that order in prior to your block starting.
Yeah.
That way you're not spending time of your bowling time ordering wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
big fan of the hamburger. I don't know who decided to brand that lefty's thing on the
top. That was our chef's idea. Isn't that cool?
Fucking great idea.
Yeah.
Because you know what Gordon Ramsay says?
What does he say?
Colors, flavor.
Okay.
And that little brand, mm-hmm. that little scorch.
It's an Instagrammable moment, isn't it?
It's an Instagrammable moment, but that creates flavor.
It does.
And it's just it's a delicious burger. And
thank you.
We usually go down there on Fridays. You guys got a great happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink. We don't drink, but I do like those zucchini fries.
How about them?
It's great food.
Yeah.
I take my dad. My dad loves the fish and chips. Just doing a lot of great stuff over there.
So can I tell you a little backstory about the zucchini fries?
Please. We got time.
One of the things that we did in COVID, because kids weren't in school, and we created a thing called Lefties U, where kids can come in and they can learn about different, you know, things. There was a mindfulness meditation track. There was a culinary track. And there was one more, and I can't remember what it was. Anyway, the culinary track, I think we had 10 kids in the class. We had two different classes. They met with our chef twice a week. And it started with just basically, you know, basic kitchen skills with hygiene and handling knives and those kinds of things. And it really built up to it all. The program culminated in them coming in with a dish and creating an appetizer. And from each one of those teams, we put their whoever won this kind of chef competition amongst themselves, we put their appetizer on our menu.
Wow.
And the zucchini fries was one of those.
Okay.
And it has stuck.
Oh, so that was created by a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that was part of our Lefties U program. And we promoted it pretty heavily on the first menu that it was, I'm blanking on her name. It was a brother and sister team, but they came up with the zucchini fries. Yeah.
It reminds me of, I'm sure you knew Matt Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt was, when he had opened that little, I forget the name of the Mexican restaurant, down in Dewey. You remember what it was called? And he had like that outdoor seating and stuff. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, my mom loved Matt, and Matt loved my mom, and we grew up in Albuquerque, and okay. My mom used to have this great enchilada recipe, mm-hmm. and Matt told my mom, he came over for something, and my mom made the enchiladas, and she said, and he told her, give me that recipe, I'm going to put that on the menu, and my mom was like, oh, Matt, that would be, stop it, and he put it on the recipe on the menu.
Did he credit her on the menu for it?
I think so.
Yeah, he probably did.
Absolutely,
knowing Matt, he probably did.
Well, and that was one of the great, and that's how this whole podcast started. Was because he was just, he would try to help anybody and everybody, and I couldn't do that, but I could, I could do a podcast and bring on small business and try to shine a little light on people. But he was always trying to figure out ways of helping, especially young people, and he got the kitchens in the prisons and was trying to help.
Yeah.
He's big into that. And, I think that's just great when you can give back, especially to kids. You maybe inspired a child or is it a young person, maybe better to say.
Right.
To maybe want to go down that direction. A chef. There's a good friend of my son, and he wants to be a chef.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the career that he wants. It's not like, I always picture, you screw up and you end up, working in a kitchen.
It chooses you. You don't choose it.
Right. And there are people, and maybe that will be inspiration to whether it's those young people or some young people down the line. Will you continue to do stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I think that was, we've discussed it, and it would have to be on a Saturday morning, which, our culinary team already works so hard, and for us to bring them in, bring my chef in early on a Saturday morning, after he's already, been in there 50 hours a week. I don't know that that's really practical.
Well,
but
maybe we could do so. I could help you.
Okay.
Not signing you up for anything, but if we, maybe we could do something, and then once we whittle it down, then we bring in the big chef and finally giving him what's like an old bear comes in.
But it worked out well during COVID because they, they did not have school. They mostly had online courses in the morning, and then we would bring them in the afternoon for about 4 or 5 hours and
that's
get them out
cool.
of the house. So
I love that. Yeah. Like I mentioned, I grew up in New Mexico, and there was a restaurant that we used to go to called Bella Vista, and it was on the side of the Sandia Mountains, and we used to, go up there, and there, it was one of these places. They sold a lot of chicken, a lot of fish, but one of their main things that they used to sell were zucchini sticks, but they were sliced long ways, like on a mandolin. So they were, the shape of a zucchini, but flat.
Okay.
And then battered, and then deep fried. Yeah. I'm not suggesting this. I'm just saying what we, I love those zucchini. I don't know.
What kind of dipping sauce did they do with that?
Ranch.
Ranch, yeah.
The old ranch.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, love that. Just love what you guys are doing. And so how was, because you started off and then you had a moment and then you kind of rebirthed your menu. Because we used to go there. We used to get this great little steak. You used to do this little steak and potato and I think asparagus.
Right.
Then that thing left the menu.
You mean a filet?
It wasn't a filet. I think it was like a New York or something.
Okay.
But it was a simple, reasonable little steak. It was delicious. And we used to get that, and then the menu changed. And at one point, it was a little crazy in there. It was a lot of people working. This was prior to COVID. And just trying to figure it out. And, we stopped going for a little while. And then when we came back, there was a revamping of the menu because that's when that Lefty's Burger showed up.
Right.
The branded bun.
Right.
So what's that? How's that been? I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to try to keep a menu up to date and still not go broke trying to do it.
Well, especially now, where everybody's dealing with supply chain issues, everybody's dealing with inflation. And we just launched our winter menu back in early November, and there was a lot of discussion about the price point on stuff. And at what point, at what point, how much is too much, for the consumer to absorb? And even though we can justify some of these increases because that's what our vendors and suppliers are giving to us, at the end of the day, psychologically, when somebody sits down and look at that menu and they see a $16 burger, and me personally, if I see a $16 burger, I'm a little taken back by that. But in order for us to meet the same margins that we had 2-3 years ago, that's where we need to be. And we even had a conversation, if you can believe this, there was great debate about taking our wings to a market price. Like, you know, who would have thought about putting a market price on wings? Like, maybe crab cakes, you could understand, but... and
oh, like, you mean when you look at it, it says market price. There is no price.
There's no price. There's a market price. It may it varies that much.
And wings took... I think wings took a hit during COVID, right? I mean, they became very, very popular. So I don't know if we heard that at Lefties or somewhere, but they said... Wings are hard to get.
I was about to say, we couldn't even get them for a while. And you know, jumbo lump crab, which we will only use in our crab cakes, we couldn't even get that for about 6-8 weeks last summer. And what the vendors and suppliers were doing is they were only supplying the people who were high volume to them, who were their priority customers, and we couldn't even get it. So we took our crab cakes off the menu for a while. So I think... You know, just as a restaurant industry as a whole, I think where we're going is menus that are more nimble and based on availability and based on price point. I think that's the direction that we're going. And luckily for us, I can speak from personal experience, people have gotten used to digital menus. Which makes that flexibility in your menu a little bit easier. You're not having to reprint everything. You can just change it internally on the back end pretty quickly to accommodate that. But yeah, I mean, keeping up with these menus, and we have a phenomenal chef, you know. I love the guy, you know, Osvaldo. Osvaldo, yeah, chef, yeah, he's great, and he's been around the circuit. You know, he's worked for Sodell, he's worked for both country clubs. He really knows what he's doing, and he's passionate about what he's doing. And he's been with us for about a year, and that's why you've seen.
He wasn't at the Crystal, was he?
No, no.
Mm-mm. You're like laughing. Wait a minute, no. Listen, the chef at the Crystal. He was there for a long time. He actually was my neighbor. That guy, remember,
was his name Osvaldo?
You know, I didn't know his name, but I know I think he was Spanish. But I hope that was a Spanish name, Osvaldo. But,
I think so.
But Matt, you know, I remember telling Matt, you need to do five stories going on in my head right now. But there was a restaurant down here, and I'm like, I think I can help them. I figured it out. They need to do breakfast, and he goes, do you know anything about the restaurant business? And I'm like, no. And he goes, you should really shut the, you know, up. and he goes, and by the way, breakfast is the absolute hardest meal to make. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it doesn't seem that complicated. But, you know, you're managing bacon, right? You're managing hash browns. You just don't make bacon for every meal, I guess. Oh, maybe you do. I don't know. But, yeah, the guy that used to run that place was pretty amazing. So, sorry, didn't mean to.
Yeah, but Osvaldo, he introduced brunch to us. You know, he really wanted to do brunch. So maybe he did work at the Crystal at one point. I don't know.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the inflation thing because it is tough. I know this country's been hit with inflation before, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this time's a little different. And, you know, as a guy that owns a hair salon, you know, my prices are going up. The supplies we're getting are going up. But I haven't raised the price because I still want, you can either make money or you can make a little bit of money and stay open, right? And I want to stay open. You know, there's a couple places around that I know that have had to raise. And if you're like a basically, you know, a 50 seat little mom and pop restaurant, you know, you can't cut into profit, right? Because you're probably barely hanging on in the first place. So you do have to raise your prices, but I can tell you there's been some places around me locally that have gotten so high. I respect you.
Right.
But I can't come to you anymore because it's just, I'm not walking out. You know, I took the kids to breakfast one day and it was like $40.
Yeah.
And I didn't really buy much, you know, chocolate milk and pancakes.
And that's what I'm saying. There comes a point where the consumer is just going to say, I'm sorry, I'm out. But you know, when you look at it on that 50 seat mom and pop shop, sure you can reduce your margins for a certain amount of time, but that's not sustainable long term. You know, eventually that person or that restaurant owner or small business operator, they're going to have to raise their prices or they're just not going to be there anymore.
That's right.
And they're going to come to a point where they're going to say, I'm sorry, I'm out. So one person or the other is saying I'm out, you know? So it's a really interesting time.
Well, I just like that you're thinking about that, because in the past, I think people said, well, listen, food's more, prices go up. And I'm not sure that. I mean, I guess we can all do that, but I'm not sure.
But it's a balancing act, right? You know, you've got to find that delta where you're not scaring people away. You know, you've got to maximize your profits, but at the same time, if you're only coming into Lefty's twice a year instead of five times a year,
sure. Well, and you also. Listen, we're going to have our ups and downs, right? Ebb and flow. I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, business is fantastic. There's going to be times where we struggle a bit. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you're in it for the long. I mean, you built a pretty nice building to not be in it for the long haul.
Correct.
So, you know, we go through this. But, you know, in the end, when we come out of things, we think, all right, who's still around? Who, you know, was considerate and thoughtful when it comes to being, you know, keeping people coming to your establishment.
Right. And I just think as a restaurant owner, it's also important to say that, you know, if and when these prices do start to come back, you'll see it on the menu too.
Thank you.
Know, you. On the flip side, you know, it's not a, you know, we're going to take advantage of the situation, you know, if prices do come down.
A lot of folks do that. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, we went up and we're staying there.
No.
It's like, no. Yeah, we can get into it.
It's a very formula-driven business, right? It's pretty simple and straightforward.
As long as you have the main part of the formula, which is patrons. Mm-hmm. No patrons, no formula.
Correct.
And we've been going, and I did not see a $16 burger, so I'm glad.
They just went up on this new menu to $16, and I lose sleep over that. I really do. And like you said, you know, it's a great burger, and it's a staple and a signature item on our menu, you know, $16 is a lot for a burger, and I get it.
Well, you're also coming to me as a guy with three kids, and that's my deal. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to take the kids out for burgers, you know, unless it's a birthday, that one might be tough.
Right.
But when it's my wife and I and we have a date night, see, unfortunately for you, we split the burger because we just don't eat that much food.
Right.
So we usually split a burger, but lately we've been adding these the zucchini fries.
Uh-huh.
And we don't drink, so we're the worst. We're the worst, DJ. I apologize.
I doubt that.
Well, we just aren't spending a lot of money, and you know we're those people.
Well, you're going into the arcade too, obviously, and you're going to axe throwing,
chucking
and
some axes.
You're doing all the attractions too.
Well, and when, the other thing that I love about Lefty's, and I'm sure other places do it, but first of all, if you go there enough, you start to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a great staff over there, great waiters. I like how it looks like you're bringing in young people.
We are.
And we can talk about that a little bit, too, is that, you know, this all of a sudden bringing 14-year-olds in to do work that 17-year-olds used to do. But the times have changed. Like, my 14-year-old started working, you know. Probably wouldn't have done that a couple years ago. But so you got a lot of great young people in there working. And like when we order like a burger, I guess they just assume we're going to split it because they bring it out with two plates. And
well, they know you, right?
They know
you,
us.
You sit at the bar, right?
We do.
Usually, I think it's I see you at the bar.
It's been crowded there lately. We've had to take a seat.
So Danny he probably knows you and knows that you split the burger. So it's just kind of a given. So.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, because it's not, it doesn't have a local feel. It has a bigger feel, but it has a local feel as far as when you're interacting with the people that are working there.
That's a big compliment. I appreciate that.
We love Lefty's, man. And I'm not the only one. This isn't about building your business, because this is about complimenting you. Because we have to park in the other place. It's very popular, and I love that, because I'd hate to see it struggle, because it's so good.
Yeah, well, a year ago, I didn't even know if we were going to be around, honestly.
It was tough, right?
Yeah, it was really, really tough.
I'll never forget that March. I remember when that list of essential workers came out, and I was like, oh, God. And then hairdressing was on it for like a hot minute. And I was like,
it was. Yeah, you're right.
I was right. Like, whoa, we're in. And then we were off.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. I was like, what are we going to do?
Scary.
That one was pretty scary. But you know what? We made it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that pizza.
Let's do that.
Because it's been a fun topic of conversation, you know, and I do own a hair salon, and so I do have a lot of clients that come through.
Mm-hmm.
And pizza is always a topic.
Yeah. Everybody says they can't find good New York style pizza here.
New York style pizza. And I forget. I guess it's, you know, I'm good friends with Ashley. And Ashley, she tells me, you know, about the water and all these. So we were there. Was it you that I talked to at the counter one night about the water? I think.
I don't think so.
Maybe it wasn't you. It was somebody else. I thought it was ordering a pizza that worked there. And I was like, so what's the deal with the water? Are you shipping it down from New York? Because that was a rumor. Mm-hmm. It was all being shipped down. And this person, I think, said no. But we did analyze some water.
Maybe that was me. Now I come to think of it.
Yeah, and I think you were getting a pizza.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I asked you, how's the water or how's the pizza? I heard that the water shipped down from New York. And you're like, oh, well.
That was me. Now I do remember, yeah.
And you're getting pizza. You're taking it
to go. Well, you know, quality control. I got to check it out.
Well, listen, it's good. Mm-hmm. That's a decent pizza. And, you know, it is a rumor that, you know, the reason pizza is so good up in New York is because of the water, the minerals in the water. Maybe you can explain that. Maybe you can talk about the efforts you guys put into figuring out the water.
Yeah, so, I mean, the water is important. And you know, I'm trying to think back. I think it was back in maybe February, March of this year. You know, I sat down and I said, look, you know, if you look at all the Facebook pages or Facebook groups down here, all the I Love Lewis and all these, inevitably...
Shout out to Ashley.
Ask the question, you know, they've moved here from New Jersey and they can't find good pizza. You know, where can I find good pizza? And this comes up on these threads 2-3 times a week.
I know.
And you're just like, oh God, somebody's asking this question again. And inevitably the answer was always, it doesn't exist. Or here's one or two you can try, but it's still not good New York style pizza in New Jersey. So I sat down with Gary, our general manager and our chef, and I said, you guys, I think we're missing a huge opportunity in this marketplace. You know, if me as a consumer, I can agree with what everybody is saying, that there just really isn't great pizza here. So I said, can we just make a concerted effort to really just completely reboot our pizza and what we're doing and see if we can figure out a way that we can reintroduce our pizza as a true New York style pizza? Because what we were offering was more of an artisan style pizza. It was, you know, much smaller.
Barbecue chicken.
Yeah. 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 I don't know.
DJ.
I know.
Stop.
Let's go back to basics, right?
Stop it.
So.
I don't even know. Were you offering that? Because if you were, I apologize.
We did.
I've seen that. I'm like, why would people put barbecue chicken
on pizza? We absolutely did.
Okay.
Maybe that's all that there. So, yeah, I think it was in the spring. We brought in a pizza consultant, and we had that person with us for about almost 3 months, I think. And we tinkered with the dough first, and the dough is you know critical. And it took us a while to really flesh that out. Is the water important? I think is your question, and the answer to that is yes. Do we import water from New York? We do not.
Did you consider it?
No, it was never on the table for discussion. So, however...
I mean, how much water would you need to bring down? How much water goes into a day's worth of dough?
Yeah.
A couple, 5 gallons?
And where are we going to store this water? You know, but...
If you did, I would put New York shipped in New York water.
Believe me,
I'd make a huge display of it.
It would be part of our whole marketing.
Right,
it would
exactly.
be a cornerstone of our marketing if we did that, but we don't.
How fun would that be?
But in working with this consultant, we did agree that, or he let us know that the water quality and temperature was really, really important when we made the dough. So we do have a quality control mechanism and a triple filtration process that goes on with that water that eliminates a lot of the chlorine and everything else that's in that water. Much like we do our ice. Actually, our ice goes through a triple filtration process too. And then the water before that pizza is made has to be at a very specific temperature. And I'm not going to divulge what that temperature is.
But I don't blame you.
So it goes through this filtration process first. Then it is stored at a temperature, and it is not made until the water is at that specific temperature. And actually, the flour has to be at a specific temperature, too.
So does that is temperature, is that the way the yeast reacts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So absolutely.
Not trying to pinpoint the temperature, but too warm, does that hurt yeast? Too cold, doesn't activate? What happens?
In terms of the science, I'm a little fuzzy on okay. all that. But I just know, you know, we... And what he did is he purposely did exactly what you said. He said, I'm going to make it with water that's too hot, water that's too cold, and we're going to see what the differences are. And I do remember it was just kind of night and day. So it took us a long time to figure out the dough first. And then we got into, you know, the sauce and the cheese. And what we found out in terms of the quality of the cheese, we definitely changed the profile of the cheese too. And really what it boiled down to in terms of the topping was making sure that the proportions were 100% correct.
Sure.
Not necessarily from a cost-saving standpoint, but, you know, I think when pizza makers, you know, make a pizza and they put a lot of cheese on it, they think they're doing you a favor by saying, okay, I'm going to give you a lot of cheese and you're really going to like it. It changes the profile and taste of the pizza completely if you put too much cheese on it.
Well, and
so all that stuff matters.
A long time ago, I worked at Taco Bell and you know, when people would come in, regulars, I would kind of give them a little extra meat.
Mm-hmm.
And my manager says, you know, you think you're doing this guy a favor. But I can tell you that if he comes in and you're not here and he gets it regular,
right,
he's going to be pissed.
He's not going to be happy.
And he's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So consistency is key.
It is.
We don't realize it, but you're right. You know, you load too much pepperoni on a pizza and you have an oil bath.
Correct.
And you've got a mess. And then you got dabbing. Mm-hmm. Things are dabbing. Now we've got napkins everywhere. Yeah, you can overdo it. And people think they're doing people a favor. And in the end, you're really hurting yourself.
Yeah, and I think that was what we really needed to articulate with the line people who were making the pizza is that, you know, you have these systems in place so that you make the best pizza possible to put in front of somebody. And once you start deviating away from that, it's going to erode the quality of that pizza every time you make it, even though you think that you're doing the right thing by, you know, offering more product to somebody. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's not good. So, you know, this guy pulled up stakes sometime this summer, and, you know, that was the true test. Like, can we continue
the consultant?
With this consistency in our quality. And you know, we've had to bring him back once or twice because, you know, you start to, you know, come off the rails a little bit. But... I think our pizza has come a long way. And I think my vision was I wanted to create a pizza that not only you wanted to come into Lefty's and eat, but you wanted to order for takeout or delivery. And so our next step in that process is to make sure that we have a pizza that can stand, the delivery process or the takeout process too, because, you know, once you take it out of the building, you know, how does it hold up? You know, that's a whole nother, you know, level.
Well, how do you go from, because I would imagine that it's easy to become a bowling alley with food.
Mm.
How do you become a restaurant with a bowling alley?
That's a really good question.
Because when I think of a bowling alley, I think of bowling alley food, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure that doesn't happen to a lot of people. How do you become a restaurant? Because you guys are an absolute restaurant that has a bowling alley. Okay.
So to answer your question, I think you start out that way. And when you sit down and you write a business plan, you say, okay, this is who we are. And this is in terms of branding, we are a restaurant that happens to have a lot of attractions built into it. And that is the way that we started. And I felt like, to your point, a couple years in, we lost focus on that a little bit. And, you know, we've brought that back so that we are a restaurant first. You know, we say when it comes to food, we don't play games. We're a restaurant first, and 55% of our revenue is driven by food and beverage. So that in and of itself will tell you that we're a restaurant that happens to have other things there. And when we sat down and we wrote this business plan and we looked at what we really wanted to do, you know, we're in a market that's hyper competitive in terms of food. and restaurants. And we knew that if we were going to open up, we needed to bring our A game every day just to stay competitive in this market.
Can I just say that I don't really agree. I feel like you guys are separate. I feel like I don't line you guys up with every other restaurant in this town. I feel like you're really a special place.
Right. But let's take the attractions out of the mix, right?
Sure.
And compare us as a restaurant to other restaurants. Let's just visually think, okay, none of that other stuff exists. Then how do you compare us?
Well,
that's the question.
See, I mean, if we're going to be honest, I mean, if this is about moving forward, I don't, you know, it's hard for me to even consider you a restaurant.
Okay.
Because I don't know if people know, you have one of the most amazing fish and chips that I've ever had. My dad goes there every Friday to get the fish and chips.
It's funny you say that, because I had a meeting with the chef yesterday and I said, you know what? I haven't had your fish and chips for months. I got to order them.
No, and I love the way that it's presented. It's in a basket. They all stand up.
Yeah.
The fish and the fish.
I love them.
They stand straight up in this great basket. They're not laying down in oil. Mm-hmm. You know, it's delicious. And my dad's a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. He loves fish and chips, and he loves your fish and chips. I don't think anybody would have. I don't know if anybody even knows that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody even knows that you're a restaurant and a bowling alley.
And that's been a challenge, you know, to educate people about who we are and
so how do you educate? Social media?
Of course, in terms of your standard marketing and social media. Social media can certainly help visually with the food component of that.
I've never seen an Instagram post of that fish and chips.
But
I'll call Ashley.
So yeah, right. I think that we've been very careful from day one not to define ourselves as a bowling alley. We always say that we're a family entertainment center, or we really kind of steer ourselves more towards a restaurant track. But does that always work? No.
Well, the sign is lefties with a bowling pin on it.
Yeah, lefties alley and eats. Yeah, and you know? Eats.
But that's, I think, as a guy, mm-hmm. you know, that's just living, mm-hmm. I'm not feeling that lefties is a big restaurant. I'm still really, I only know it because we go there.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head, you know, and I think that when people come in, and if you look at our Yelp reviews and any Facebook reviews, so many of them are, it wasn't what I expected, you know, right? It wasn't, you know, blew away our expectations. We didn't know what to expect. We thought it was a bowling alley. And so, you know, not that there's anything wrong with the bowling alley, but when you say those two words together, you already have a preconceived notion of what that is, and that's just not who we are. So we've really tried to stay away from that, that title as much as we can.
Well, it's tough because you're everything.
And bowling is an anchored attraction for us, for sure. It takes up a lot of space in our building, but it's certainly not... It's not the driving force behind everything that we do.
Well, do you have a lot of people that come bowl and then have dinner? We'll be having dinner, and it just seems like people that there's like a group of people that come in to bowl, mm-hmm. and there's a group of people that just come in to eat.
Oh no, they cross over all.
They cross
the time.
Over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of people that will come in there for, you know, the average length of stay there can sometimes be 2.5 hours, 3 hours, you know, they don't leave the building.
That's great.
Yeah. And,
well, I think that's why I thought it'd be fun to have you on, because listen, I bowled there once. I've eaten there 100 times. Uh-huh. I love,
but you're
restaurant.
Also a foodie, right? So
I'm not a foodie. I mean, if I'm going to pay for food, I want it to be good. Mm-hmm. I like supporting local business. Listen, if your hamburger wasn't good, I wouldn't go over there and eat one.
Right.
We're not eating it over out of sympathy. It's a good burger. Mm-hmm. I love the little brand on the bun. I think that is super creative. I think it's looks great. It's got great presentation.
Yep.
And it adds flavor.
Yeah, but
that burn char from that branding on that bun is flavor creation.
Yeah, I mean it's a Cheney Ranch Angus burger, 80/20 burger.
It's delicious.
That's a high quality burger.
And fish and chips are great. The salads are great. The pizza's delicious. You know, and people, and listen, I, you know, as a person in a hair salon, that here's 100 people tell me 100 places to eat pizza, and nobody can agree on anything. And I'm like, so I'm like, well, let's figure out what is this New York. My wife's from New Rochelle. She thinks she's a pizza expert. And I hear it's the fold, right? You got to fold it, and it makes the diamond, you know, and that keeps the front up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want the front to droop down. That's a no-no.
Well, you can have a little droop.
Yeah.
But not, you know, it's not.
It's got to hold up.
You got the diamond. Mm-hmm. You fold it, and you have the diamond. It has stability.
Yeah.
It's got a good crunch to it. It's got good flavor. It's a good pizza. It's an excellent restaurant, and I just don't know if enough people know that.
Yeah, and it's funny when I go back to these Facebook groups and these questions about, you know, we're coming into town, where should we eat? And, you know, a lot of times, 99% of the time, Lefties is just not on the radar. And I think to your point, I think that we're perceived as an entertainment attraction center first and a restaurant second, when in reality, we built this center as a restaurant that happens to have, you know, other attractions around it. And that's kind of our hook as a restaurant. You know, you can come for the food and stay for the fun.
Can you
can do both.
Can you work on the food too much? Can you like perfect it and perfect it and perfect it? And like, you know, cause it doesn't, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I haven't really felt like I get, the conversation, I feel like you kind of just been working on the food, getting the menu right, getting it right, getting this pizza right. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's ready. Maybe we need to launch this.
It's just not my personality. I'm a glass half empty kind of guy, and I always look at what can be better.
Are you ready to challenge all the pizza places around here to a pizza off?
No.
Come on, DJ.
We're not there.
Where are we going to get? You know, listen, I always say you can climb to the top of the mountain. This is what I do. I climb the top of the mountain, then I run around the tip and make problems for myself.
Well, you wanted to have an honest conversation. We're having an honest conversation. Me personally, I don't think we're there.
Not quite there.
No.
Pizza.
Which just means that when we are ready to do that, I'm 100% certain that we're there.
So where would you like to see? And are we talking about pizza? Because I can tell you the. You're good there. You're there with the burger. Mm-hmm. The burger's there. Fish and chips are there. I haven't eaten everything on the menu. Mm-hmm. The zucchini fries are there. Mm-hmm. That's three. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned?
Do you like our chicken nachos? Do you get those?
I haven't had them.
Oh, they're unreal.
So the chicken nachos were there.
There's a lot of things that are there.
Let's go. Let's turn it up.
All right. Everybody should go.
Let's go. Let's have a cut. Let's listen. How do we? So we're there. We've been doing a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we incorporate some people and start getting some opinions? I know I don't go on Yelp. I don't have a Yelp. Yelp tried to get my salon on there. I'm like, I don't care. I like word of mouth personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I have a great review on Yelp. I've never even signed up for it.
Good for you.
I can't get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. The people. Mm-hmm. How about we have like 10 people and just bring in some pizza experts and something like that. Something fun.
Do you have 10 pizza experts you could rally together?
Listen, I bet if we put a little thing out right now on this podcast, I bet 10 people would volunteer.
I'm down.
Let's get 10 experts to come in. No, let's get 10 human beings, regular people, and just get a nice test on the pizza. I think it's fantastic.
I would love it.
All right. Well, let's work on that.
Okay.
It's time to become awesome at the pizza. I think your pizza is great.
Thank you. I do too. I don't want to, you know, be negative, but, you know, I'm always looking at ways that we can, you know, improve it. So,
well, I could see the fear of consistency because you don't know who's where. It's not like you have the same people. You always got people coming in and out, and you know, what do they say? The part of your business you want to see fail is the part that you're not involved in, and you can't be everywhere all the time. So, the consistency, I have never had a problem with consistency. I've had the pizza 3 times. It's always been good.
Great.
It's very, so I think. Good. Maybe it's time.
Let's do it.
Let's have fun with it.
Okay.
I love having fun. I like, you know, getting better, but I like trying to, you know.
Okay.
I think you guys got great food.
Thank you.
What is your favorite?
I think we do too.
What do you think of that burger?
I love the burger. I you know, and for me, a burger is a splurge because, you know, I just don't eat a ton of red meat, to be honest with you. But, sure. you know, once a month, it's just one of those things where I have to have it.
It's a good burger.
It's phenomenal.
Well, I know that when we talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah,
cheeseburger. Uh-huh. Yes. And the brioche bun, it's just, it's a...
The Lefty's brand, I think that is so freaking clever.
Yeah.
That's very clever.
Yeah, and I love our fries that go along with it, and...
it's great fries.
So, yeah, I eat at Lefty's quite a bit.
That's awesome.
If you can imagine that.
What was what were you doing before? I mean, did you grow up here in Rehoboth?
I did not. I was imported. My wife imported me in 1995. We moved down here. We got married.
That's interesting. I moved here in 94.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay.
So we've seen some changes.
Yeah, we have seen some changes. Now, my wife did grow up here, so she's seen a lot more changes than I have.
Do you want to say your wife's name? Or?
Yeah, Sabrina is my wife.
Okay.
Yep.
And you guys do this together?
No.
No.
Which is
she probably, brought you down.
It's probably healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if you've been here together since 95, you're probably
we're doing
good.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're doing all right. So when we moved down here, we moved from Alexandria, Virginia, and I was working for an ad agency, and Sabrina was working on the Hill. She worked, gosh, this went all the way back when Tom Carper was a state representative. Now I'm dating myself. So, yeah. So she was working on Capitol Hill, and I think her car got stolen for the third time. And we were just kind of like, you know what? You know, this isn't the place where we want to raise a family. And so we came down here, and I worked in my in-laws' family business for a couple of years. Not a couple of years, 15 years. And built a small portfolio of hotels with them. So I was in the hotel business prior to this. So, you know, in terms of the, you know, hospitality industry, I have a pretty good grasp of that coming into it. And, but, you know, family businesses are hard, you know, and the dynamics there are really tough. And especially when you're dealing with multi-generational and in-laws and that kind of thing. And I just, back in 2010, I just decided, you know, for the health and well-being of the family relationship, it's probably better that I kind of go off and do something on my own. And so I, you know, did a couple of things that were along the kind of serial entrepreneur thing. I opened up the UPS store locally here.
Oh, wow. You did?
Yeah, I did that. That's cool. And I kind of went from one thing to the next. I opened a property management company.
Do you still own the UPS store?
I don't. No, I sold it.
Nice.
Yeah. And had this property management company for a while that I loved. I loved that business. We managed high-end vacation homes for people. We had about 75 homes that we managed for people.
Wow.
I just loved it. I loved the relationship part of that and the people part of that, getting to know these people. That was a lot of fun. And then, you know, as we started to ramp this up in, really, this started 5 years before we even opened. So it's been 10 years in the making. I really decided once we cut over here, this was going to be a full-time venture and, you know, kind of put all my eggs in one basket with this. And, it's finally at a point, and it's a very complex business model, and there's a lot of moving parts to it, and everything feeds off of one another. And it's been a bigger learning curve than I thought it was going to be. Really, really difficult to figure out. And I feel like, you know, when we got to the edge of COVID, we were just hitting our full stride. We had finally figured everything out, you know, and then, you know, the lights went out. And so, you know, and in a lot of ways, I always say to people, and they're always so surprised, that I think that COVID for us was actually a really positive experience in so many different ways, because we really had an opportunity to, you know, we were closed for 3 months. So we took that time and we really kind of looked inward and we said, you know, are we who we said we were going to be when we wrote our mission statement and wrote this business plan? Are we really following that path of what we said? And in a lot of ways, we weren't. And we, you know, got creative again, and we opened up the drive-in, just like you said, and we opened up the patio, and we added axe throwing. We did all these things to really just stay alive. And, you know, I felt like – you know, it was really rewarding in a lot of ways, you know, and it was a positive experience. And, you know, now this year we've had a great year, a phenomenal year. We're back, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just sighs of relief, I think. And, you know, just yesterday we had this big kickoff, Giving Tuesday event because, you know, our community outreach is back. You know, we're in a financial position again where we can collaborate and work with a lot of nonprofits and do a lot of things that we used to do, you know, prior to COVID. And, you know, yesterday we hosted 10 different nonprofit organizations for a day of food and fun. You know, you bring your staff and your team and your volunteers, whoever you want to bring. And at the end of the day, we'll give each one of you guys a $500 check. Wow. And it was so, it felt so good to finally be back in the saddle in terms of, you know, working with nonprofits again, you know. And, you know, as you can imagine, I mean, we get hit up for, you know, silent auction items and gift cards. I mean, like, you just can't even believe. And
I can believe it.
You know, that's stopped for a year, you know, and we just didn't have the means to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday was a day where I felt like finally, I said to Sabrina last night, I said, I finally feel like we made it. Like, you know, the whole COVID thing is behind us. And it wasn't because, you know, our numbers were good all this year. It was because we were in a position to do what we did yesterday.
That's awesome.
And that's where we want to be.
Yeah. I'm sort of like you, you know, clearly if someone lost, you know, we lost my mom during COVID.
Sorry to hear.
Yeah, not specifically from COVID, but she was by herself and it was really a bummer. But, you know, clearly if you lost somebody, and that's never good. But I really feel like a lot of great things came out of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real reset. I know for me, you know, we're kind of born into this system, right? That we, you know, you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you have kids, and it's just this continuing thing. And COVID put a pause on all that.
Mm-hmm.
And really allowed me to be fearful and work through it and come out on the other side to, hopefully not become the same person I was. Not that it was a bad person, but just a lot of focusing on a lot of stuff that wasn't really as important as I thought it was at the time.
Right.
And realizing, and always has been, you know, what's most important is our families. Mm-hmm. and our community.
Yeah, it's been a great opportunity to reevaluate.
It's been great. And I got to volunteer over at Shellville.
Mm-hmm.
And another great family. I just could not be more impressed with that company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've volunteered at things before, you know, and you get your orders right from the lead volunteer, and then everybody walks away and everybody's like, whatever. And I've never been part of a group that's more excited to be like the extension of that company. And it's just been a lot of fun. And I think that you only find that in a small town like this. And
I agree.
It's awesome.
I agree.
It's great. And I'm just so grateful that you guys, not that I didn't think you wouldn't come through, but have come through and maybe a little better.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, how could we not be better from that experience? And if you don't learn from it in some way, shape, or form, then it was kind of all for nothing, right?
It's all for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, bro, I appreciate it. I apologize for the confusion. Sometimes I feel like a 10-year-old.
Well, I just hope your back's feeling better.
My back is fine. I had to get an injection. If anybody needs an injection in their back, go see Dr. Sutherland. He's amazing. But mm-hmm. I had to have a follow-up, and, you know, I don't know how doctors get away with it. I, as a hair guy, I can't, you know, if a good person walked in and they said, yeah, Tom's already an hour late. No offense, Dr. Sutherland, but
it's not going to fly.
And then so I've really appreciated it. I have a lot of respect for you and your partners and that either your business and just what you guys are doing. So I apologize for having you
have
to call me to remind me. Just a knucklehead sometimes, but great conversation. I love chatting with you. Hopefully
it was fun.
Maybe after the holidays and the New Year's, when those January and February lolly months come along, we'll focus on trying to get some people together and get
a real
pizza conversation going.
Okay.
But don't change anything.
Okay.
It's
you got
delicious.
It.
You're killing it, bro.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
And shout out to Ashley. I know she's helping you guys get some stuff together. I'm going to tell her we need to fish and chips picture.
Okay.
We need a fish and chips reel, Ashley.
We'll have it by tomorrow.
Dipping this fish. thanks again. Great. And hopefully you'll come back sometime and we'll chat again.
Sounds good.
All right, brother.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.